During my local journalism career, I encountered numerous quirky stories about how our iconic British red telephone boxes have been transformed into everything from wildlife information hubs to tiny libraries and even food bank donation points. All very noble, but as I often told my team, when I first started as a broadcast journalist, I had to actually use the telephone boxes to call in my live reports. I recall attending a huge factory fire and then having to walk about a mile, covered in smut and reeking of smoke, to locate a phone box to make a call from. When you did locate one, you were lucky if it was working, and you always had to ensure you had enough coins to get through a two-minute report without the beeps going. Either that, or you had to reverse the charges, where you called the operator who asked the person you were calling if they would pay for the call. Go back even further, and Mum didn't have a phone at home when she was a child, so the local phone box was the only way to make a call. She remembers her aunt being in the Women's Auxiliary Air Force during the Second World War, and when she came out of the services, she became a telephonist switchboard operator at a large hospital. Mum thought this was a very important job. Telephone operators manually connected calls on a switchboard, and during the war, this included enabling communication between military personnel. In the 70s and 80s, things had progressed a bit, and we had a landline at home. Long before the internet, some of our information could be gathered by calling services, such as the speaking clock, which told you the time, or dialer disc, where you phoned to listen to the latest music tracks. British Telecom even employed journalists and sports reporters to voice the information. Mobile phones, as they are today, just hadn't been invented, and those first models were extremely clunky. A few years into my career, I was reporting from a county show and was given the office mobile phone to take with me as I wandered around the exhibits. It was, quite frankly, about as mobile as a heavy car battery, about the size of a large brick with a base unit to charge it from. I happened upon my old school woodwork teacher who had a school in the rural crafts tent. Rather embarrassingly, when the mobile rang, I hadn't got the foggiest how to answer it. My teacher, who was from Norfolk, found it hilarious, and he said in his lovely accent, which I can't do, "Ha! I don't believe it. You've got one of those poser phones." Phones weren't the only massively cumbersome piece of equipment we had to lug about either. The recording devices we used consisted of two reel-to-reel tapes with a full-size microphone attached. They weighed a ton. And when we got back to base, we had to edit the tapes on an even bigger machine using a razor blade. The youngsters look at me with complete bafflement when I tell them stories about being a journalist in the olden days. That is because in 2025, not only do the reporters all have mobile phones, but they use them to take pictures, video, and live stream from the scene. I often wonder how my first very old school editor would get his head around this. I was actually quite slow to embrace mobile phones, maybe because of my vain hope that I could continue to live in the past. When I did, my first was free with Coca-Cola. It was the most basic of models, now sold on eBay as extremely rare. My colleagues laughed every time I received a text because it played a tune that sounded like the cavalry arriving. Anywhere in the building, you could hear it. People would say to me, "The Coke phone's going off." The cause of much merriment it may have been, but it did the trick, allowing me to make calls and send texts. I then progressed to a nice little basic folding Nokia before eventually having to succumb to a smartphone for work. Of course, it's really useful to have a mobile so you can be reached by loved ones if they need you. It also means if your car breaks down, you don't have to walk miles and knock on someone's door and ask to use their phone. Yes, we've all done it. But I am sad that phones have gone from being a tool to get in touch with friends and family to being something that most youngsters have glued to their hands day and night and don't seem to be able to function for 5 minutes without. Along with this rapid change in phone technology, we seem to be losing the art of conversation, and that's sad. You can't beat hearing someone's voice. I mean, who doesn't feel better after a good old chat to set the world to rights?